And welcome to the Texas Talks podcast. I'm your host, Brad Swale. Today, I am here with Charles Blaine, founder of Urban Reform, a political advocacy group focused on free market solutions to urban issues. Charles Blaine, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brad. Thanks for having me. It's great to meet you.
It's great to meet you too, Charles. It's always a pleasure to meet new people. It's great to be able to do things like this podcast, talk to people, intelligent people like you who are well-informed and have smart opinions about what's going on in Texas. And today I think we're going to be talking about public information requests, FOIA, transparency in government, which I think is, I don't know, we could all use a little bit more of, I think. So before we begin, just tell us a little bit about urban reform. I gave a really brief explanation, but I'm sure there's more to it than that.
Of course there is. I mean, and PR requests are something that we do a lot at Urban Reform because the goal is to get more people more information about what's happening in local government. And so a large part of what we do is put out information about what's happening in city councils, commissioners, court, school districts, mainly in the Harris County, Houston area. But if things pop up elsewhere, we do that as well. And so we try to get people more informed about what's happening so that they can get engaged in the process. And we promote free market solutions to urban issues. So as we know, there are plenty of urban issues in a lot of our major cities. And so we kind of try to look for free market solutions that either other cities are doing or that maybe they're not doing, but that we can promote. So we do a lot of that, and included in that includes a lot of Texas Public Information Act requests, because to affect change, you have to know what's going on.
Yeah, I would think so. And it seems like there's I've personally had some, I've done some PIRs before in the past, and it's not always easy. I kind of think of it as a skill. Some people are better at it than others, and some of that's from experience, some of that's from luck. I don't know. I don't really know. Sometimes there's a great way, sometimes it seems like there's no great way. So you guys do a lot of public information requests. How many do you think that you do? And how is the experience for you? Do you think that you're good at it?
I mean, you know, you think you're good at it and you think you get it down, and then you request another entity or a like subdivision within that entity, and then you realize that you're not as good at it. So I don't know. I like to think I'm good at it, but I don't win. My win rate is pretty horrible. So I guess I'm not that good.
What do you mean by win? I mean, for those that don't, I mean, I think I understand what you're talking about, a win rate. Yeah. For those that don't know what, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think to the average person, citizen out there, if they know what public information requests are and how they, you know, they probably think, well, you just request something and they send it to you, and it's pretty easy, right? But that's not the case.
You would hope. And what I found is that for me, and I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, when it happens that way, when I just request something and they send it to me, usually it's because whatever I'm requesting is inconsequential and they're like, all right, we'll just give it to you. Whenever it's anything that's of consequence that they don't really want out, they usually make you jump through hurdles. But generally speaking, yes, you should simply be able to request information from any government entity, because that's what the Texas Public Information Act allows you to do. And they should release it. I mean, barring crazy things like social security numbers and driver's license numbers and things like that. But they should be able to just release that information to you. But more often than not, or in my case, more often than not, they kind of make you jump through different hurdles. And I mean, the hurdles can be anything, right? So some entities I'll request, and I'll just speak to something I just did. So I often request from the city of Houston, and then I've recently started requesting from an entity called Metro, which is our metropolitan transit organization. And the city of Houston, you used to be able to just send an email to the department and request the information. And technically, under the state law, you still can just do that. But they created this portal that you now need to create an account for, log into, and then submit your request through there. Whereas with Metro, I just email my request in. But what's also weird is that I've requested them from other cities, and they all use, or increasingly they're using, these portals to do it. But yeah, and it's the same portal. You know, when you go to the website, it's the same website, except it says Houston or San Antonio or Austin or whatever. But yet you can't use the same login information. And it's so frustrating because I got to create a new account every single time I do this. And it's ridiculous. But anyway, that's a personal gripe. But yeah, they make you jump through a lot of hurdles to get the information. You need to sometimes re-clarify it. You need to specifically know what you're looking for so that you can ask for that. And a lot of times, if you're looking for something, you don't know specifically what that document is, and you're trying to kind of just ferret it out. But sometimes whoever the responding officer is on that other side will make you go through a lot to get what you're looking for. And you hope to get it in the end. Sometimes that doesn't work. And I think for me, a lot of times it doesn't work, at least not the first time. I have to kind of keep refining my request or redirecting my request or just kind of hone in on what I'm looking for to be able to get it. And so for the average person, it can be a huge impediment. For me, I'm like a dog with a bone and I'm going to get it. So I'm just going to keep trying until I get it.
Yeah. So, you know, you say that you sort of have to ferret it out. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, it's you put in a request. And like I said, I think the average person maybe thinks, you know, I'm going to ask, I don't know. I'll use a local example. I don't just a totally made up scenario. I want to know what Kirk Watson, local mayor here in Austin, Texas, there's a big vote coming up next Thursday on the Home 2 initiative. I want to know, I don't know what he's been emailing about that or whatever. Right. So I say, I want to know. All right. Send me, I send a request. I want Kirk Watson's emails about the Home 2 initiative. What would you predict would happen if I did that?
What would I predict would happen? I think they would respond with a lot of requests for clarification. A lot of times when I've done that, where I've sent an email saying, I would like just, we're going to use Home Initiative, but we'll say City of Houston. Home Initiative for our current mayor, John Whitmire, everything he said in an email. I will get back an email saying, well, you need to clarify to who and from who. And I'm like, okay, well, to and from John Whitmire to anybody else. And then they'll be like, okay, for what period of time? So you put the period of time. Then they might say, instead of just saying names, you need to submit email addresses for the people that you're talking about. And so I've got to go find email addresses to then submit those so that they can search. Now, you don't have to do all of this, right? Like if you are a responding officer and you work for the city or whatever department's being requested this information, you don't need to make the person do all this. There's no need to do that. That is if you choose to make them do that. And a lot of times they choose to make you do that. And so a couple of years ago, I was requesting a record for a report that was done by the City of Houston, and it was the Office of Business Opportunity. They were doing this report to check how the status of the Minority Women Business Enterprise Program. So small business minority program. And they did this report and they hired an outside consultant to do it. And they decided not to release it. So I was like, well, I'm curious why they didn't release it. So let me open records request the communication surrounding it. So I knew the name of the outside vendor that they used to do the report. And I knew the name of the specific point of contact at that outside vendor. And then I knew who the responding agent was at the City of Houston who headed up the Office of Business Opportunity. So I said, can you give me the emails between this vendor and this person at the City of Houston? They responded, well, you need to give us the email address. So I had to go and find the vendor's email address, the woman, her email address, and then submit it to them and then refine the request and talk about what period of time. Then not only did I have to talk about what period of time I wanted the emails, but I had to give them the period of time for which that report was created. And eventually I got to where I needed. And then they ended up appealing it to the Attorney General anyway. So I'm still waiting on that. But they make it hard a lot of times. And on the flip side, though, sometimes I've requested information and I've been as vague as you possibly can be, and they turn over the information. And that's what lets me know that it just really depends on who you get on the other end, if they're going to make your life miserable or if they're going to make your life easier when it comes to requesting.
I wonder also if it has to do with the, I don't know, the perceived sensitivity of the information, right? If they, I don't know, I mean, so in my scenario where I'm asking Kirk Watson for all of his emails regarding home, this has been going on for well over a year at this point. So if I did that, I think that maybe people don't understand that it also costs money, right? Yeah. Then it can be a lot of money. I'm sure Kirk Watson has sent, I don't know, thousands of emails, or he's received like to and from and all this other stuff. I think that I could come back. It could come back with a rather large price tag. In which case I need to, I don't know. I've heard of strategies where you can request multiple shorter time windows. Mm-hmm. And that way it's free, but that's a lot of work on your part. Yeah. Have you had any surprisingly high amounts, dollar prices?
Yes. More than a few. And that's the other thing, right? It's also arbitrary because they don't have to charge you the amount. I've had requests where I've requested documents for time spans of years, and they've turned them over and without an issue. But then I've had times where I've requested one document from a couple years ago, and they literally have charged me like 15 cents. And I'm like, you're really going to charge me 15 cents for this? You can't just give it to me. And I think it's our policy not to just give out this information. I'm like, this is crazy. But then I've submitted things to the city of Houston where I've gotten bills for like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. And these are purely for information requests on the computer. So it's not as though they're going down in the basement and peering through, you know, detailed file cabinets dating back to 1875. No, they're going and they're doing a computer search for these documents. And yet they still charge you for the labor fees and all these other things. But it is really arbitrary because they don't necessarily have to. And that's an internal policy some agencies and entities have. And they are supposed to limit how much they can charge you, but none of that's ever really enforced. I mean, and there's no kind of method to the madness. Like I said, sometimes I'll get charged 15 cents. Sometimes I'll get, you know, billed $5,000. Sometimes I can pay online to have my document shipped to me. Other times they literally will make me come down there with 15 cents and give it to them. I have more than on a few occasions gone down there and had to give them a handful of change because the amount that I was requesting did not even amount to a dollar and they would not give you change. And I'm being very serious about it. It is so ridiculous. And for a city like even Austin or a city like the city of Houston, we're 600 square miles. If I'm a citizen who wants to request information and that information is like two sheets of paper and it's going to cost 30 cents and you're making me travel all the way from Kingwood, which is an hour north of the city, downtown to pick up two sheets of paper because you want me to pay in cash and you can't email it, it is absolutely absurd. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And it, as you can tell, this stuff, I get really frustrated.
That's good. Hey, it's important. I mean, I think this stuff is really important and it's important that, you know, these hurdles get addressed like you're describing. There's very little consistency in how they enforce things. You might get lucky and get someone that's, you know, I don't know, maybe they're having a good day and they say, yeah, I'll just give this guy this all the stuff. Or maybe they're having a bad day, or maybe it's, you know, I don't know what's going on. But that's my experience too, is that it can be sometimes it's surprisingly easy and sometimes surprisingly hard. But at the end of the day, there's still these weird hurdles. You mentioned appealing to the Attorney General's office. What is that situation like? What's that? How does that work?
It's equally as bad. So I don't know if you've had this experience, but my experience has been that with some entities, they will just automatically appeal to the Attorney General's office. It could be that you're asking for, again, inconsequential information, or you could be asking for state secrets, and they're going to appeal to the AG's office no matter what. Other entities have not had an issue with, and they're more than willing to turn it over. But essentially, state law gives them the opportunity to appeal a request so that they don't have to release this information, and they send this appeal to the Attorney General and kind of make a case for why they are appealing this. What gets annoying is that, you know, I've done it enough, and I feel like you probably have as well, that you can kind of sort through this stuff and read it yourself. Whereas some people, you know, you can't unless you get an attorney. And it's like you're looking at this like legal jargon, trying to figure out under which state statute that gives them the ability to withhold information they are trying to request to withhold this information. And so for me, I usually get some of the same arguments for the documents that I'm requesting. They argue that they're work products and that work products are not subject to release, or they argue that it's attorney-client privilege. And that's usually if I'm requesting anything that has anything to do with the city attorney. So that's a huge broad brush, because if it's a city attorney interacting with any city employee, it's quote unquote attorney-client privilege. And so there's different things, or if it's something dealing with a vendor and procurement or purchasing, they will argue that they can't release the information because of like proprietary data. So there's a lot of different areas in which they will appeal to the Attorney General's office to withhold information from you. And my experience has been that more often than not, like 99% of the time, the Attorney General's office does side with that local entity and allows them to withhold that information for various reasons, you know, and I've gotten lucky at times and have them encourage or order the local government to turn that information over. But then in situations like that, where they order it, the local government will sometimes just not do it. And then the Attorney General's office doesn't do anything. I currently have a request that I submitted in 2021 to the Houston Police Department.
It's 2024 right now.
Yeah, well, by the time I hit it, it'll be 2025. Let me tell you. So I submitted in 2021. It was for body-worn camera footage of a certain incident, not a violent incident. I mean, it's a really stupid thing, actually. I was just doing it for a friend. And they argued with me to kind of refine, finally refined it to get to where it needed to be. They said they were going to appeal. They appealed. The Attorney General's office told them to release it. They said, okay, so they charged me, I paid, and then I never heard from them again. And then I'm waiting and I'm emailing every like 3 to 4 months. I'm emailing like, hey, you know, you're gonna release this. Never heard another thing from them. About a year and a half, 2 years into this, I email or reach out to the Attorney General's office to file a formal complaint because not only are they supposed to release it, but now I paid. So they like stole from me. They literally stole money from me and has not given me the product that I paid for. The Attorney General's office said they opened an investigation. Never heard a thing. Follow up with the Attorney General's office probably about 3 or 4 times up until this point. Have not heard a thing. So not only will the responding officer at HPD, who is in charge of public information, just not answer me on this case, but I'm not getting an answer from the Attorney General's office despite having paid. Now, granted, it was like $5. Like it wasn't breaking the bank, but nonetheless, like, I paid the money to get this document. The state law enforcement officer told them they must turn this document over, and they have refused to do so, and there have been no repercussions for it.
Well, I mean, it's the principle of the matter. Even if it's $5, you paid for it. I wonder, you know, you're doing all this electronically, and, you know, sending emails, filing complaints, whatever, all that stuff. You're not actually going to the AG's office. And as you're describing this, I'm wondering, like, okay, well, why doesn't Charles Blaine just go down to the Houston Police Station headquarters and, you know, find that person and talk to them in person? And actually, as I'm thinking that, I don't know how easy that would be. Like, they can easily ignore an email, and, you know, as you are describing. But how easy is it to find the right person? Like, can you talk to a person in person? Can you call? Are they easy to contact in other means?
No, not at all. I had to, on that specific one with HPD, one, I'm not getting in there unless they like let me in, right? Because it's the police department. And so you're not getting in unless they let you in.
There's a different way to get in.
Well, sure. If I got to play chess here. but two, I had to actually go out. So the system, when I submitted it, they responded to me. They respond from an email, like, I'm just going to say, like, openrecords@hpd.org or something, simply.org, whatever. I had to find, but they had a signature. So I had to find this individual in the city directory so I can get their direct email address, hoping that if I sent a direct email, I would get a response. Did not happen. Called the number associated on the email, got rerouted, ended up leaving a call. Kind of same thing happened at the AG's office where I submitted the complaint. I did hear back on my initial complaint, and I responded to that, never heard again. And so I tried to call the number that was on the signature, got nowhere, left a message, never heard a thing. And so it's not easy at all. And I mean, and whether that's HPD or whether that's City of Houston, it's not easy to just walk in there and find these people or find where you can get access to them. Usually the only time I've been able to kind of directly interact with them face to face has been when we spoke about how you get records, but there's an alternative, which is if they do have a lot of records that cost a lot of money, you can go in and inspect them yourself and tell them which ones you want. That has been the only time that I've been able to actually see somebody face to face is when they've given me like a large variety of records and they say, we've got all these. Do you want them or do you want to come inspect them in person and decide which ones you're looking for? That's been the only time I've been able to interact with them. Other than that, it's impossible to find them in person.
Or when you need to give them 15 cents in person.
Well, oh yeah. Well, then there's that too.
Yeah.
There's
that too. Yeah. So, you know, I wonder why this isn't and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, why this isn't a bigger issue, right? I mean, this is the government at all levels are doing things in your name, on your dime, and you don't have a whole lot of say in that. You know, yeah, I guess you could go vote and maybe a different person gets in, but then it's the same problem. They're doing it in your name with your money. Why isn't this a bigger deal? I would think that, I don't know, like, surely locally here, the Austin American Statesman, the paper of record in Austin, Truly, they butt up against this stuff as well, but I don't really hear anybody, I don't know, complaining about it. It seems like people like you or other citizen journalists out there that are trying to sort of find this information and release it out to the public, as Urban Reform wants to do, so that people can make more informed decisions. Why isn't the media getting involved? Or maybe they are, and I don't know about it.
You know, I mean, I think here and there they do. It only seems like they get involved when they get really slighted on something big they really wanted. But this, I know, I've spoken to journalists here locally who it happens to all the time. They don't cover it. In and of itself, it should be its own story. But yeah, they don't really cover it. And I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's in part because they feel it's kind of like a similar situation with journalists who cover mayors and city councils and things like that, how they're disinclined from reporting negatively on them because then they hope that the likelihood of them not having them access to them and getting information increases, so that if they report favorably, they're still going to maintain access and get slid information under the table. So maybe the same thing happens when it comes to open records requests, where they don't want to report negatively on the broader system because then it might make it harder for them to get the requests that they do want down the road. I don't know though, but it should be something that's a bigger deal, because it is impossible, not impossible, but near impossible to truly get information that you want. And if you're an individual, not someone who's working with some sort of political advocacy organization or a newspaper, and you don't have the resources, legal or financial, to fight it, to get it, then you're really not going to get it, because sometimes you will be fighting with them for 3 years in this instance to try to get this information. And so, you know, it is an issue. I don't know why it's not reported on, you know, more loudly. It certainly should be. And I think if it were, we might see some change on it. But I think I'm going to keep talking about it because it's so frustrating and I just want to get this thing fixed.
Yeah. I mean, I think that your assumption about the local reporters and stuff like that, that cover the city halls and mayors and everything, I think your assumption is probably correct. You know, they have that inside line already, so they might not have to go through the process, maybe. And if they were to report negatively, they would lose access. So it seems like, you know, assuming that's true, and I think it's at least directionally true, that because of the way the system is set up, it actually favors, you know, it disincentivizes actual reporting, you know, real actual hard-hitting reporting, unless the story is just really big, because then the local papers, well, you know, they got to be nice, so they can't actually tell you, you know, what's really going on, because then they lose access. Yeah. I think that's probably a problem.
I think so too. And I think if you look at some of the information they get, what I've started to notice more recently is that a lot of times when you're looking at whether it's TV news or print, when they get documents, they're more often than not leaked than they are through TPIA. And the average person doesn't generally have like inside sources at City Hall or wherever where they're going to be getting leaked documents like that. And so I'm starting to realize that more often than not, that's their access, or that's their ability to get them, probably because the TPIA process is so broken.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, is there a distinction between the information that you want and the information that you get? That makes sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. There definitely is. Because here's the thing. While I'm complaining about this process, I can submit 100 records requests in today and get information. It just won't be information that's useful. Like, it's like no one's going to care about it. And so I can get information. It's usually information. The information that I'm able to get is not information that's particularly noteworthy or that the entity feels is going to be damaging to them. And then also there's the flip side of that, where I get information that where I will request something and I think it's very clear what I'm requesting, but then they send me something different because they, for whatever reason, I don't know what the motive is, but they will send me something different that is like slightly related, and it could be confused to be the same thing, but it's not. And so, yeah, I do run into instances like that. And so, it happens on both sides. Yes. I get plenty of information that I don't want, that I didn't directly request, in lieu of information that I didn't request.
Yeah. It kind of goes back to what you were describing earlier, having to be specific and ferret out and narrow down and everything like that. And it can be very tedious, to be sure. So, how do we fix this? What is the deal here? It kind of seems like you know, there's shenanigans afoot. You know, I would have to talk to them personally and, you know, use my superpowers to figure out if there's something going on. But how do we fix this?
I think for starters, there needs, there's two things. I mean, the long-term answer is there needs to be a cultural shift in local government that understands that this information is public's information and there should be access to it, but that's never going to happen. So the state needs to tighten up the Texas Public Information Act, because that has been just riddled with holes, and it allows these local governments to kind of slide right through them. So over the years, one of the things that I found out is that over the years, so when you submit a request, if the local government contests the request with the attorney general, if there's not already an opinion on a request in that vein, the attorney general will issue an opinion on whether or not that information is subject to disclosure. And so when they say no, they give the reason why under state law. And if you look, you can go on the website for the attorney general's office and you can see all the opinions submitted by or released rather by Attorney General Paxton, all of them released by Attorney General Greg Abbott, all of them released by Attorney General John Cornyn. And over those years, all these opinions have essentially rendered the law useless, because they're giving all of these exceptions to the law, saying this is why you don't have to release, this is why you don't have to release, this is why you don't have to release. And so a lot of times what happens now for me is when I request something, they will just go pull up an old opinion and be like, this opinion was issued on this issue, and so, you know, you don't have to release it for this. And so it almost makes the law pointless, and it doesn't really skew it in favor of the citizen as much as it skews it in favor of the local government. And so I think kind of getting rid of some most of those opinions and kind of restructuring the law to make sure that most information is subject to disclosure almost immediately, barring any sensitive information like health records, social security numbers, driver's license numbers, bank information, things like that, would be a great start. I think also creating an enforcement mechanism in the attorney general's office or elsewhere, that when an opinion is issued that they are required to release this information, there's some follow-up, whether that's penalties per day, whether that is, I don't know, something. But there needs to be some sort of enforcement mechanism that if they are required to release the information, that they actually release it or face some consequence. And at the same time, there needs to be penalties for agencies that do not respond to records requests in reasonable time. And there needs to be agencies that intentionally abuse the law, because we have a lot of them that understand that what you're asking for is pretty mild and not a violent. So one of the ones we recently had, someone requested all the communication surrounding a street redevelopment project because they were frustrated with the new mayoral administration for undoing a kind of bike lane project that the previous administration did. So when they submitted the open records request on this, the administration appealed it, saying that this was not of national importance, but of they needed to keep the information secret because it could lead to terroristic behavior or something like that. Because it unveiled to I know, it was ridiculous.
Because of bike lanes.
Because it had to do with street redevelopment. And I guess the argument was, if you know how they do infrastructure, this, you could damage infrastructure or something. But there was like a terrorist exemption. That's what they were seeking. And I don't know that a ruling came down yet or not, but it clearly is like nonsensical. These bike people, while I disagree with many of them, and while I might, they're not terrorists. They were not looking to terrorize. Like, it's very clear that they were trying to just get back at the administration and trying to have a fight with them over this bike lane and the street redevelopment. They were not trying to get like city secrets to then break up a major artery in the city. Like, it's just kind of ridiculous. And so all that, to go back to what I was saying, there needs to be penalties for agencies and entities that abuse the system for requests when they know that it's something that they can easily fulfill, or when they just submit too many requests. Because I think currently what we have is the default is these entities just default to submit the request to the attorney general in hopes that they don't have to release it and they don't have to worry about it anymore. And so I think those are some great starts, but there's so much more that they could be doing to make this law more favorable towards citizens. I think even capping how much it costs to, or how much they could charge rather, to give you the request at a lower amount than it currently is. I can't remember what the current amount is, but it amounts to a lot of money when they have to pull a lot of information together. And I think if they were to cap that at a lower rate, then you would have these entities not going and pulling thousands and thousands of pages. They would go and actually be serious and say, okay, we know what this person's looking for. We're not going to make them jump through a bunch of hurdles because we can't end up charging them that much for it. And yeah, and making it easier for people like us who do get charged to be able to get those charges waived, because there is an argument that you can have the charges waived if what you're trying to get is for the public good. And I know a lot of media entities try to use this. It doesn't always work. And I think it's like kind of up to the agency to do it, but to make it easier for you to get those charges waived, because ultimately we paid to produce the document, whatever the document's about, we paid to get that done. We're paying the person who's collecting the document. We're paying for the computer that you're using to interact with this request. So why are you now also making me pay for the information that I've already paid for 1.5 million times? And so if there was an easier way to make those costs waived for individuals, and that's really for just people who are living somewhere who want to know what their local government's doing and don't have $1,000 to pay for them to go pull that information. And I think that's probably a bigger problem in some of the more rural areas, because they don't have these automated systems and these computerized systems. I mean, they have computers, obviously, but a lot of the information is still maintained like physically. And so you have these people who have to actually go and pull the information. And so while in the city of Houston, most of it's digitized and can be easily pulled, in a lot of other areas, you don't really have that luxury. And so I can easily see people being overcharged in those instances because they have to actually go do physical work to get that information. And so by capping at a lower rate, I feel like it would help everybody who's trying to request more information.
Yeah. Well, Charles Blaine, I appreciate you taking the time. You're the founder of Urban Reform. Do you want to tell people where to find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. That's where I love to just yap. And so you can go find me at CJBlaine10. Or you can just go look at urbanreform.org, urbanreforminstitute.org, all of our information's there. But if you look at urbanreform.org on all social medias, you'll see the information we put out about local governments. Most of it is video content about what's happening. And so you can digest that if you are interested in seeing what's going on.
Awesome. Well, Charles Blaine, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was great. Great to meet you.